This is Doug Miller. Well, Paul and Barnabas are about to come to a parting of the ways. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with the Word of God in hand. And we are looking at a time, kind of a shakeup here. At the end of the 15th chapter of Acts, we get the splitting of Paul and Barnabas, and it is an interesting thing to consider. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Acts 15, and we will begin at about the 30th verse this morning, but we won't take a lot of time getting down to the 36th and where the split comes in. So I think you'll find this very profitable. And why not call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. As you've heard me say many times on here, you are the only advertising we have, and it is the word of mouth strictly. That's all it's going to be. Don't intend to go into any large expenses to get the word out about Dialogue. And Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated. We are a nonprofit organization, and I mean that. And we exist solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out to as many as we can get it out to, as far out as we can get it. That's what it's all about for us. And I can't foresee Dialogue Ministries really being about anything else. So we need your prayers. We need your support. Please pray for Dialogue. And we would love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to hear from our listeners, to know that you're out there, to answer any questions you might have, to help you out in any way that we can. Our mailing address is Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, just keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you wish to email Dialogue, our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That is Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. And you can pull up our webpage. That's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Please put .org or you'll get something other than Dialogue Ministries. And what else? Ah, yes, I always say this. If you wish to call me for any reason or get in touch with Dialogue by telephone, our telephone number, 405, area code 405-535-9089. Area code 405-535-9089. Now, all you're going to get is a recording, but I will pick it up and get back to you just as soon as I can. All right, let's see what we've got here in the 15th chapter of Acts now. When we saw the brethren last time, Paul and Barnabas, who, boy, they are wedded together in these early ministries, almost like Siamese twins. You hardly see one when you don't see the other. And they have gone up to Jerusalem, as we saw last time, to put the question before the apostles and before the Jerusalem church about how people get saved. Now, if that's not a critical question, I never heard one. And the conclusion very clearly is it is not by keeping the law. It is not by works. It is by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these Gentiles that are coming in, and they are coming in growing numbers, more and more of them, they do not These men have concluded have to become Jewish proselytes. They don't have to be circumcised. They do not have to keep the law of Moses and the Mosaic law. They don't have to work works to get to heaven. Now, many people out there in the world today just simply don't get this. And why is beyond me. I suppose it's because you get certain ideas in your head and it's difficult to get them out. And so people go along believing that salvation is about everything in the world, many of them, other than what Paul consistently and continually says it is, by believing the gospel. People say, well, it can't be that simple. Oh, yes, it can. Oh, yes, it can. That's exactly how simple it is. And that is why it is ridiculous for anyone who hears the gospel to wind up in hell. What does it say? It says that, you know, you just absolutely are bound and determined that you're not going to believe. Fine. Don't believe. But don't blame God when you wind up shut out forever. All right. 15th chapter of Acts. Let me ask you something, all of you who are listening. Don't you love history? I tell you what, this book of Acts is so exciting to me, and it, you know, because I love history. I'm right at the moment I'm finishing up a book on the it's about 600 pages long, and it's on the history of the war in Europe in the month of May in 1940, when the German Wehrmacht went through the French army like a hot knife through butter, and Guderian and Rommel were standing on the Channel coast almost before anyone knew what had happened. A very interesting book, but the Book of Acts, to me, is more fascinating than, it's the most fascinating history. It's the history of the young church and what happened. Now, any history is not exhaustive history. I mean, a history of the, you know, the war in Europe in May of 1940 is not an exhaustive history. It's a history of selected incidents, selected by the author. And what we have in the book of Acts is a selected history. And, of course, the author is the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of things that happened in the early church back in the first century that didn't make it in here. You know, if some of the sisters got together in Antioch and held a bake sale to raise money to finance Paul and Barnabas, well, that's wonderful. It's good that they did it. But the Holy Spirit didn't deem that important enough to put it down here. We didn't need to know that. But what is in here, we need to know. And once again, as you've heard me say before, this is a transitional period. We're transisting out of Judaism, out of the law, into a whole new dispensation, the dispensation of grace. And here in verse 30 of Acts 15, we have Paul and Barnabas. They're coming back to Antioch, and they gather the multitude together and delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. Well, I'll bet these Gentiles did rejoice. Remember what the epistle was all about now. In the epistle, which was written by James and Peter and John and the apostles in Jerusalem, they said flatly, the Gentiles that are coming in do not have to become Jews. They do not have to be circumcised and keep the Sabbath and the law of Moses. That has nothing to do with what we are doing. Peter's conclusion, we believe, and this is back in the 11th verse of chapter 15, that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. So this is the letter that was read by Paul and Barnabas when they got back to Antioch, and the people there rejoiced. They were delighted to hear it. Okay? And of course, to a guy like me today, and probably most of you who are listening to me, we probably are all rejoicing at this because, look, I have nothing against Judaism, but I don't want to be a Jew. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. And being saved is by grace through faith, and that is good news for a guy like me. Because trying to be good, you know, I have a lot of problems with that. If my works in any way contribute to my salvation, I'm afraid I'll never be in heaven. But when it's God's grace that is the cause of my salvation, I can relax and rejoice, and it's the blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Now, we've got in verse 32 here, Judas and Silas, who were in Antioch, and it said they were prophets also themselves, and they exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Okay. And notwithstanding, it says in verse 34, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Now, I tell you what, this assembly at Antioch must have been a well-taught bunch. Can you imagine being able to sit under this kind of teaching and this kind of encouragement? And you'll notice, I mean, there's not one word in here. Some of you, I'm sure, get tired of hearing me say this, but you're going to keep hearing me say it because it's the truth. There's not one word in any of this passage about the pastor of the church. There's nothing in here that says that Silas was the pastor, or Paul was the pastor, or Barnabas was the pastor, or anyone else was the pastor. There were pastors, plural. Those are elders, and there were teachers, and the very fact that they had a plurality of teachers and shepherds in this assembly makes it all the stronger and better. Wow, I would love to sit under the teaching of Paul the Apostle on some passage of Scripture and then have Barnabas get up and give me his take on exactly the same passage. And one wouldn't necessarily contradict the other, but they would certainly supplement and fill out one another, wouldn't they? Now, Paul and Barnabas are very close. Barnabas, as we know, the son of consolation, is the one who first brought Paul into the assembly in Jerusalem. He was the one who took him in. They weren't going to receive him. We saw this back earlier in this book of Acts. And Barnabas is the one that took him in there and told him, look, this man is saved. I know what he has been, but what he has been is not what he is now. This is a saved man, and you need to be receiving him. And Barnabas was the kind of guy that he helped and encouraged many people. And, of course, he and Paul were the ones that were commended out of the assembly in Antioch to go out to the Gentile areas of the world with the gospel. And out they went together, and they have been through a lot together. It is kind of painful to see what happens next, but let's see it. It says in verse 36, some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Now, just a little side trip on this one. This is, I think, worth looking at and considering. This is follow-up. You don't just, you know, preach the gospel. People get saved, and here you are. God bless you, son. Go on, and the Lord will take care of you. No, these guys and Paul here said, you know, let's go back and follow up on them. Let's check up on them. Let's see what's going on and what's happening. And where are they going? Right back where they've been before. They're not breaking any new ground here, or at least that is not Paul's intention. Let's go back to where we've been. And we preach the word. And let's check up on the brethren. I love it here. Because these Gentiles who are out here, Paul recognizes them as brothers and sisters. And they have been born again by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by believing the gospel. And that makes them a part of the family. Let's go check up on them. All right, in verse 37, and here we come to the break. Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, we know Mark. We know him real well because, in fact, he is the author of the second gospel. His name was John Mark, and we know that in the first missionary journey of these men, we know that John Mark went out with them. And, of course, they got into a little trouble, and we saw this back in chapter 13. They got into a little trouble and got slapped around a little bit, and John Mark went back home. He didn't like it, and he went back home. Now, we've got an interesting situation here. What are we going to do with this? What are we going to do about John Mark? Well, Barnabas, who was John Mark's uncle, wants to take John Mark with them again when they're going back out, and he wants to take Mark with them. But look at what Paul says. Paul thought not good to take with them who had not gone with them to the work before. Now, this is an important thing. And we see this, incidentally, back in chapter 13, verse 13, where he goes back and returns to Jerusalem. And I can just imagine this. Now, look, blood is generally thicker than water. Certainly with most of us, we have a tendency to hang together with our families. And I see Barnabas doing that here. And Paul says, no, I don't think that we ought to take him with us. When we were in Pamphylia, he, you know, departed. He let us down. He cut out, went back home. I don't think that it's good that we take him out here again. And Paul probably said the boy is immature. He's young. He needs seasoning. He is not up to it. And Barnabas, who was John Mark's uncle, takes immediate umbrage and is offended, and they have a fight. Doesn't say that. It just says they have a sharp contention. That's in verse 39 of chapter 15. Let me ask all of you something. Who's right in this one? Well, we have got Barnabas, no doubt, saying, look, it's water under the bridge. All right, he made a mistake back there, but let's forgive him and take him back out here. And Paul saying, no, we can't do that. He is not up to it. He's not seasoned. He lacks the maturity, and so on and so forth. And the contention between them is so sharp that they depart asunder one from another. That's it. They go their separate ways. And so far as we know, Paul and Barnabas never work together again. We see in verse 39 that Barnabas and Mark go to Cyprus. Well, Barnabas was a Cypriot. He was from Cyprus. And they go to Cyprus. And Paul picks up Silas. Now, Silas was the man. He had been in Jerusalem. He had left Jerusalem when Paul and Barnabas left Jerusalem after having gone there to get this mess straightened out about circumcision and so forth. Silas went back to Antioch with them. So Paul takes Silas and departs, and we see in verse 40, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, I want to ask all of you something. Which one of these men is right? Is Barnabas right, or is Paul right? Is Barnabas, whose name means son of consolation, here is the forgiving, gracious one who is willing to overlook John Mark's shortcoming and failures and wants to take him back out there with him, and maybe, I emphasize, somewhat blinded by the fact that this is his nephew? Is Barnabas right? And over against him we have Paul, who says, I am not taking him back out there. When we got to Pamphylia, he left us. He did not go and stay with us when we went to the work. I don't think we should take him back out there at all. Now, I ask you all, we have here a possibility of forgiveness and restoration, or perhaps we have a man, in this case Paul, who may be overly harsh and a little bit tougher on this young man than he should be. Who's right? Well, I don't know. I frankly don't know, but I do know this. I do know this. We do not, in the rest of the book of Acts, hear anything about Barnabas and Mark. Who does the Holy Spirit follow in this history? Paul. Who, therefore, must I assume, if I had to, you know, if you put the pressure down on me and drop the hammer on me and say, well, okay, Miller, who do you say was right? I'm going to have to assume that it's Paul, because it is Paul that the Holy Spirit follows. And the rest of this book of Acts has to do with Paul and what Paul is doing and what the Lord is doing through Paul. Now, is Paul a perfect man? Absolutely not. Paul makes some serious mistakes. Is Paul a man that Paul considered himself the chief of sinners? So we can't look for perfection out of the man. But there is a man in this, of these two men, the one that the Holy Spirit is on to the point of following him and recording his actions. It's Paul. Now, is Mark forgiven? Absolutely. If you look back, and let's just see this. I want you to just turn real quickly. We're about out of time. But look at 2 Timothy. This is Paul's swan song. Paul is about to be executed. And Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's pick it up at verse 9. To Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Dalmatia, Titus unto Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So was Mark finished here? Absolutely not. Did Paul wash his hands of Mark? Absolutely not. We see at the end him saying, he is profitable to me. So Mark grew up, and as I've already said, he was one of our gospel writers. But I have to assume, once again, that Paul did the right thing here in setting Mark aside and leaving him where he was. Well, we're out of time. That'll have to be the end. Hope to see you next week. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.